Hello everyone, I'm Pastor Timothy Tomlinson. Thank you so much for joining for today's live webinar. Let me change my screen one more time for you guys here. And today we're going to be talking about, and it's an ongoing series that we're talking actually in regards to Old Testament judicial law, integrating it into the New Testament in regards to approaching the throne room of grace. And last week we were sharing about the seven strategies that Daniel used to approach the courts of heaven. And we're going to be talking today very specifically and going a bit more detail into the spirit of prophecy as part of that. So I'm really excited what the Lord's going to be bringing up and being able to share with you during this time as part of that. I'm Pastor Timothy again, and I'm thrilled to share with you and lead you through the courts of heaven here today. I've studied the courts of heaven extensively, and I've seen how approaching the throne room of grace can transform lives. Exploring the courts of heaven has been so life-giving for me as part of this, and I pray that you'll experience God's love and grace in new ways. My goal is to help you to biblically understand the foundations of the courts of heaven and how they reveal God's justice and His mercy. I want to focus specifically on embracing the spirit of the prophecy as part of that Daniel did, listening to God's voice to help us approach the throne of grace with confidence as part of that. In just a bit, we're going to be taking some volunteers and some questions. But first, though, I wanted to lay the ground and some foundational pieces here about in Scripture to prepare our hearts for the Lord. He has so much to say for us today. And I'm believing for breakthroughs for you and the blessings that He will be bringing to you in the name of Jesus Christ. My hope is that through our time together, we'll gain a fresh revelation into what it means to fully embrace the spirit of prophecy in this hour. As we explore this important topic, I believe your passion for intimacy with God will be empowered with intercession and will be ignited in a new way. In Daniel chapter 7, we are given the privilege of seeing into some of the most vivid layers of prophetic visions and supernatural dreams that Daniel received from the Lord. As Daniel consistently dedicated himself to extensive seasons of prayer and fasting, he found great favor with God to be shown glimpses into the future, like revelation, as part of that, of end-time prophecies, as well as details concerning the coming Messiah. And Daniel wholly embraced the profound prophetic anointing on his life, relentlessly. This is an important word that the Lord really wanted me to share here. It's because he was persistent in his prayer and his pursuit. He petitioned heaven until the meaning of the mysteries of his visions were completely disclosed. Have you had a vision from the Lord? Did Jesus share something with you in a dream? You know, do you feel led by the Lord to do ministry work and you saw yourself doing these things? You know, it's important for us to, when we see these visions, we have these encounters with the Lord, is to seek out the Holy Spirit and ask Him, teach and guide me into all truth. And this is going to be helpful as well in the courtroom, because when He reveals some of these mysteries here to us, He'll do it just because we are being obedient. We're asking, number one. And number two, He's wanting to use us for His glory. In addition to Daniel, we see the gift of prophecy powerfully demonstrated in the lives of many others across the Old and New Testament. The Old Testament, the prophet Zechariah also was granted extensive prophetic visions from the Lord, which he as well recorded them meticulously in the book of Zechariah. In chapters 1 through 6, Zechariah describes the night visions he received when he got something from the Lord. He got a prophetic vision from Him, and it was a vivid imagery of colored horses as part of that, angels, a flying scroll, a woman in a basket, four chariots, Joshua, the high priest, and more. These visions spoke of the coming restoration, as well as empowered the Spirit and brought on some prophecy and again, spoke about the coming of the Messiah. So neat, because a lot of these prophecies that we see in the Old Testament, they start referring to Christ, and a lot of things we can even point back to Christ. That's one of the things I love to do, is finding in Scripture where Christ is at in the Old Testament to that got fulfilled in the New as part of that. So that's what we do is that we go through and we check out and we study God's Word. We study all of the prophets. If you want to be prophetic, you want to see visions, you want to have encounters from the Lord, you want to have dreams as part of that, you want to understand that, well, then you need to understand God's Word. And we can't perish for the lack of knowledge anymore. Come on, we're growing up here in the Lord, and it's time to take away the milk of the Word and actually eat the meat of it. The prophet Ezekiel was given profound visions and revelations of God's divine throne, glory, and judgments through his spectacular pictures of whirling wheels, cherubims, and the valley of dry bones. Ezekiel 11 records a vision of 25 corrupt leaders in Israel, and they were secretly plotting wickedness as part of that. In Ezekiel 37, God showed him a valley of dry bones resurrecting into a vast army, symbolizing Israel's coming restoration. In 1 Samuel 3, we read a young boy, Samuel, who first heard the voice of the Lord calling his name in the night. God went on to speak to Samuel through direct prophetic revelation throughout his life. The prophet Nathan was used to deliver sobering prophetic words to King David in 2 Samuel, and it was regarding his sin with Bathsheba. The prophet Isaiah describes an awe-inspiring visions of such seeing the Lord seated on a heavenly throne, surrounded by worshiping cherubim in Isaiah 6. Isaiah 11 prophesies of the coming Messiah and the Spirit of the Lord that would rest upon him. Jeremiah 1 records God touching Jeremiah's mouth and anointing him as a prophet. Jeremiah 25 describes the prophet's visions of the coming Babylon conquest. So as well, in the New Testament, the Apostle John was granted the most extensive prophetic visions describing the book of Revelations. Through vivid imagery of scrolls, trumpets, bowls, of wrath, beasts, the fall of Babylon, as well as Jesus as the rider on the white horse, and more. John previewed the coming events of the Lord's triumphant return. The book of Acts records the prophet Habakkuk foretelling a severe famine as well. And later, Paul prophesied the impending persecution as well. So as believers today, you and I have the same access to the same Holy Spirit who animated all of these biblical prophets. And when we learn to posture our hearts rightly before God's throne through humility, hunger for his presence, and honor for his word, we make room for the rest of the spirit of prophecy. We make room for it, and as well as for it to rest upon us. God longs to entrust us with strategic prophetic insights to guide our lives and fuel intercession and to unlock breakthrough. So what does it look like for the spirit of prophecy? Well, first, we have to do some practical things daily as part of this, guys. Again, a lot of times people just try to just turn it on, or, you know, it's just like, oh, instantly Jesus just shows up all of blue. A lot of it has to do with our time spent with the Lord. I was talking to another pastor the other day, another deliverance minister, and we were sharing, you know, just about our time with the Lord. And I said, you know, because I'm such in Scripture so much, studying, you know, for what the Lord's going to be doing next, I said, boy, it just feels like the persecution, the attacks that the enemy comes against, my mind is definitely, I have the peace of God that surpasses my understanding. You know, like normal events that would drive me crazy, or little things that would, you know, tick me off, because I've spent time with the Lord, things have changed around, as well as it as that time spent as well, makes me sensitive to hearing the voice of God when prophecy comes along as well. So what we have to do is position ourselves so that we can get this. We can get this freedom from the Lord when we can get these revelations as part of that. Well, what you're going to do is we'll have a prayer, and you're going to want to ask the Lord as part of this and say, hey, Jesus, I want to have visions. Will you let me have dreams as well, encounters with you, Lord? But bring these to me as part of this. And part of that as well is we must cultivate a lifestyle of intimacy with God through consistent time, focusing on praise, prayer, worship, and studying the scriptures. So we got to spend time in God's word. I was just chatting with a client not that long ago, and he was sharing that he just stopped reading his Bible. But he was just so tormented. He stopped praying and everything. And so it went on for about 2 months. And so he said, you know, the battle's still there. And it seems as if it's cut down a bit because the enemy's kind of leaving it alone because he's not bringing it before the Lord. And he says, and he felt the tug of the Holy Spirit to start seeking the Lord again through prayer, through praise, through worship, through studying the scriptures. These essential spiritual disciplines serve to soften our hearts before the Lord and attune to our spiritual ears to listen to the gentle voice of Jesus Christ. As we initially draw near to Him, He promises to draw intimacy with us as well. And it's a relationship that is, He gives it to us. It's reciprocal. As we spend time with Him, He says, you know, if you seek me, you will find me. I will be found by you. And James 4:8 shares with us that the genuine intimacy fosters deep revelation. Second, fully embrace the prophetic. Prophetic involves nurturing an attitude of a childlike faith and eagerly expecting as we listen for God to speak. If we don't believe God's going to speak, He's not going to speak to us, guys. If we don't think that we'll have the signs, wonders, miracles, the gift of prophecy, the laying on of hands, then, by the way, it won't happen because Jesus only will show up when you decide to release your faith and trust in Him. He said that there's nothing else that pleases Him more than our faith. That's it. And He says He's already given us a measure of it. So all we have to do is take that measure He gave to us and believe it, or as well, take it one step further, like with the mustard seed, and say, I release this much more faith, Jesus, in you. And mountains can move in our lives. We must believe with unwavering expectation that our Heavenly Father earnestly desires to share mysteries and reveal His heart to us in perfect alignment with His promise, like in Jeremiah 33:3. Call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great unsearchable things that you do not know. Prophetic breakthrough is unlocked as we wait hopefully, expecting on the Lord. Thirdly, embrace the spirit of prophecy means learning to steward prophetic words and impressions with maturity, humbly, and as well with wisdom and discernment. As we receive revelation from the Lord and He brings stuff to us, because He will. If you say come, you'll find Him. And then as well, He'll bring things to you. Now, as well, when He does bring things to you, it is to encourage you, to lift you up, to bring discipline, to guide you. Even correction, and then as well to help others. So we must carefully, throughout prayer, weigh these things out and see and discern if this is a season to share, or, you know, is this from God as part of that. The primary role of the Holy Spirit is to speak prophetic to us and edify, to encourage, to exhort, and to comfort us as beloved children of the Most High. Prophetic words ignite faith, impart visions, and illuminate our purpose and destiny in Christ. Finally, or hardly, embrace the spirit of prophecy that serves a power for us for intercession. Prophetic glimpses into, as well, what's going on in other people's lives, because the Holy Spirit reveals these things to us, as well as He brings revelations of the enemy's strategies and key insights into strongholds, bondages, and hindrances afflicting people's lives. So when we're standing in the gap, or as well as we're getting these prophetic words, it's just not just to always just bring encouragement. That's great. But sometimes it is to edify the body of Christ. It is also to encourage them and build their faith. So when we are equipped with this divine perspective from the courts of heaven, we can pray targeted strategic prayers that dismantle evil altars and unlock breakthrough as part of that. Daniel, Zechariah, and John's examples beautifully illustrates how prophecy and intercessions are linked as part of this. So we're going to need to go ahead and take some steps to do this. So we're going to be cultivating these prophetic gifts. I'm going to encourage you guys that there's going to be a replay of this as well. And then there is going to be a list of all of these here. There's more to it. There's quite a bit that's there. So we're going to go over that just briefly here. And then we'll as well be taking some questions in just a moment. But we need to get this down inside of us and understand how to take these next steps. Now that we've explored the heart of posture fully behind embracing the spirit of prophecy, I want to share with you some practical ways that we can cultivate and steward prophetic giftings in our daily lives and allow them to shape our prayers. So set aside, number one, unhurried time and to silently wait in God's presence. We just get away from distractions as part of it. Turn off the TV, turn off your phone, your tablet, turn everything off, you know, your watch, you know, I had to turn mine to silent, you know, so nothing would go off. But get this time with the Lord. Create space to hear His gentle whispers during Bible meditation. Expect the Spirit to share secrets of His heart and His will for your lives, and wait with open ears to hear His voice. Two, you're going to ask the Holy Spirit to activate prophetic dreams, visions, impressions, and words of knowledge. Carefully journal these revelations, praying for wisdom and in application as part of that. Weigh and test everything through the Bible, through the biblical truths. And if you don't see that it's in the Bible and you don't find confirmation, don't do it. Don't say it. Don't do anything until you hear from the Lord. I'll wait on Him before He shares with you. Three, study the lives of prophets like Moses, Samuel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Habakkuk, and John. Ask God for the same depth of intimacy as part of that, and their prophetic giftings as they walked in it. Develop in a hunger for these deep things of the Spirit. If you want it, you'll search the Lord. And I love that some people, they just keep pursuing. I was working with a client, and they said, you know, I just don't give up. When things don't go my way, I don't let that deter me. I just don't let it let me to give up. I turn back to the Lord over and over again, every single time, no matter how bad it gets. So that's the thing that you do. And the same thing here is, if you're wanting to learn about prophecy, you need to learn about prophecy. You know, a lot of times we're just waiting for the visions and the encounters and the dreams to come. But there's some great books out there as part of that. So look and read those books, and it will help you in that process to understand what to do when those prophetic things happen. Or when you receive prophetic revelation, wait on the Lord for proper timing and wise application before releasing that word. Seek His discernment regarding it, when and how to share it for maximum kingdom impact. I mean, I know many years ago, I was an associate pastor of a church, and I was right around the end of Christmas, and I got up, and we had another associate there. And so I got up and I started sharing the word of the Lord for the year. And she already had that set up for, like, I think it was later on in the next month. And so I just shared tidbits of what the Lord shared with me. And so sometimes, you know, before sharing, you know, and saying that with them, I should have confided, because they had a special word of the year. But, you know, I just shared my heart. And sometimes, you know, we got to take that time and communicate, and that's going to be important. The Holy Spirit will be your guide as part of that. Five, in intercession, petition the Holy Spirit to reveal His strategic strategies against the enemy and the demonic strongholds as part of that. Ungodly influences and hindrances hold us back from that breakthrough, as well as we're going to be praying for people's lives, cities, churches, and nations. We're going to be praying for prophetic intelligence as part of that, as well as revelation from the Lord. Six, submit to mature, trusted prophetic mentors. who can guide you in learning to accurately interpret revelations and grow in spiritual discernment. Submission provides wise covering. So if you haven't found a prophetic leader yet, ask the Lord, hey, let me follow some prophetic people out there, you know, and get some insight from the Lord. There's many of them that are modern-day prophets that are out there, so seek the Lord, and as well as, you know, test them out. Make sure that, you know, they're sharing God's word, you know, some weird thing as part of that, and the Holy Spirit will be your guide in this process. 7, view every prophetic word as an invitation to persistently partner with God through prayer until you witness its fulfillment. Birth revelations through faith-filled strategic intercessions. I remember many years ago that I was in my early 20s and I had a pastor, his name is Pastor Reggie Benson. He wrote the song from Alice Cooper's School's Out for Summer. And so he was a mentor of mine many years ago. He doesn't pastor church no more, but he was sharing that in my 40s, late 40s and 50s, the Lord's going to do most of his work. And that was true. Even though I was on fire for the Lord, I was in my early 20s. You know, I wanted it now, you know, but the Lord had some other things, you know, for me as part of that. So it took some time for me to get to that point. And it was an encouraging word as part of that. And I waited out as well. 8. When praying for others, ask the Lord for timely prophetic words that will edify, encourage, and strengthen their faith. Release such words gently with purity and motive, making that it's you're doing this in humility and in wise timing. As part of that, remember I had a friend many years ago who ended up sharing that he had a vision that woman that he knew, she was sleeping with another man. And so he said, it was vivid. And I said, I don't think that's from the Lord, man. And he goes, what do you mean? And I go, I don't think God's going to be sharing vivid things, you know, because he shared vivid, you know, like nudity. And I go, God's not going to share that with you. And I think that's some demonic oppression from the enemy. Test that out. Make sure that it's from God. 9, abide in unity with Christ, the true vine, through daily intimacy with your relationship. As we stay vitally connected to Jesus, we gain access to his secrets and produce the good fruit of prophetic anointing. 10, journal, memorize, and mediate on God's prophetic words as part of that to capture their meaning, insights for prayer, and review of prophecies regularly to nurture your faith in God's timing. 11, when prophesying over individuals or groups, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal his compassionate heart for them. Release words, again, humility with care and with the right timing. 12, develop accountability in the prophetic by submitting words to leadership before releasing them widely. Value wise counsel and input, that input strengthens maturity. So a lot of you, you can get a lot of this through your church. If they don't offer prophecy, there's nothing wrong with taking a moment and saying, hey, Lord, you know, I know this church down the way, they have Prophecy Mondays, you know, and they teach about prophecy. Maybe it's Wednesday, Thursday. Who cares? But look around. If you don't see it at your church, they're not providing it for you. There's nothing wrong with getting fed and finding other places as well. You can find it online and see if someone's talking about more prophetic things that are in alignment with what you're looking for. So in these turbulent times, God is putting his outpouring of his spirit to empower the church with great prophetic wisdom and insight. We desperately need to hear the voice of the Lord accurately to illuminate our path forward in the midst of this darkness around us as part of that. And he'll reveal strategies that will unlock breakthrough, not only in your lives, but in other people's lives. Are you willing to be like Daniel, Zechariah, and John, to prayerfully count the cost, to consecrate yourself throughout the seasons of fasting to receive direct revelation from the courts of heaven? As we walk before our holy God with humility, honor his word above all else, and cultivate a deep, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, we can fully embrace the spirit of prophecy. And I believe that God yearns to entrust us with divine fruit blueprints, heavenly strategies, and kingdom assignments that will shake the powers of darkness and usher in the end time harvest of souls. And we're getting close, guys. Everyone here can see that what's going on, you know, in the world here. It's pretty wild out there. So the choice is ours. You know, it's in our hands today. Will we respond to the Lord's invitation to experience His prophetic realm in our lives and to help others as part of that? Will we open our ears and our hearts and our eyes to see the mysteries of His heart as we wholly embrace the Spirit that empowered the prophets of old? I believe that we will emerge as a catalytic, as world changers through the power of this strategic intercession. So let us boldly answer the call to grow in prophetic giftings and live with an open heaven. I pray each of you here today will receive a fresh prophetic download directly from the heavenly throne, divine revelation to illuminate your path forward with the kingdom purpose. Our God longs to share His secrets with those who steward them well for His glory and for His name. So let us earnestly press in together for more of the Spirit of prophecy, that it will rest on us like it did for Daniel, Zechariah, Abacus, and John. And what an adventure that awaits us as we turn to Jesus and say, "Hey, will you please bring in revelation knowledge? Will you teach me all truth? Will you allow me to help others to get freedom as you use me as a willing vessel?" And I think that's what He's looking for when us guys. He's looking for an opportunity for us to say, "Jesus, I'm here. Call on me. I'll go. You've already asked for the call. I'll go. I'll go for that call. I'll submit to you, Lord." And the minute that we start saying, "Jesus, use me in this area, use me," then He'll start using you even more. Prophecy isn't just for one person, guys. It is an opportunity for us to share the goodness of the Lord, to share His will for our lives as part of this, to reveal revelation knowledge about what is about to come as part of that. So prepare your hearts and ask the Lord, "Jesus, will you bring that spirit of prophecy? Help me," because it will help you in the courts of heaven as part of this. When you bring these issues up as part of it, and you ask for this in your prayers, when you approach the throne room of grace, don't be surprised when Jesus takes you aside after winning a case and saying, "Hey, I have a prophetic word for you to give over your wife or over your husband or over your family or over your church or over the nation." And He's going to give you encouragement because you're right in the courtroom and He has you right in the position where you've already asked Him, "Hey, will you bring this to me?" And He just wants to bring it to you. Or you may happen in your dreams as part of that. Zechariah, that's what happened. Oh, a big old sleep. And woke up. And he had all of those dreams, and they were pretty wild. But he kept seeking the Lord for advice. What's the next steps, Jesus? What are the next steps? In just a minute, we're going to be taking volunteers and questions. Before we do, I'm just going to pray that this word gets deep inside your guys' hearts, and that it will become revelation knowledge, rhema word for you as well, in Jesus' name. Jesus, thank you for preparing their hearts for what's going to be happening next as they volunteer, they ask questions about the courtroom. And Jesus, we thank you that you're right here, that you're getting them ready, you're preparing them, you're maturing them as part of that, Lord. And we thank you that when they seek for help here, Lord, that they don't look to me as a healer, but they turn to you, Jesus. As in Proverbs 3:5-6, we will trust in the Lord with all of our heart. We will not lean on our own understanding, and all of our ways will acknowledge you, Jesus, and you will direct our path. Jesus, we put our trust and faith in you alone, and we thank you for bringing healing to the brokenhearted. Perfect. We're going to be taking some volunteers just in a moment here. Looks like we had a couple of questions. Looks like someone just said hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I like that word. It's a great word, that's for sure. Then you can raise your hands here. Let me go to the volunteers And we'll be walking you through the process of approaching the throne room of grace here today, as well as if you have questions about the courtroom. Maybe it's interceding, approaching the throne room of grace. All of these issues we can bring directly before our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to share another screen before we do this, guys, as well. I felt led that there was something else that Jesus wanted me to share. You get out of that there. Got it all available for us. Give me a minute to share one more screen. And give you an opportunity as well, if you have some questions, I can answer those for you. You can raise your hands on the side here, as well as I am going to be unlocking it so we can see faces as part of that. Turn on microphones. Turn on video. All right. We do have our online training class. It is the Courts of Heaven Masterclass. As part of that, if you feel led by the Lord, you can check out. It's directly on our website. My beard's a little bit longer there than it is here. But we do charge for this online training. It's $15.95. It's 3 hours of training. Just walk you through the process to get some victory. As part of that, there's examples of others getting freedom. There's worksheets as well. And we're gonna, whatever we do here today, you know, approaching the throne room of grace, you'll see that those worksheets work hand in hand together. Next, we're going to be sharing another screen here. We have some free training here on our website. Please, if you feel like the enemy's tormenting you in any way and you don't know how to get restoration from the Lord, you can directly turn to Jesus as a friend and father, a trusted friend to get freedom over these issues. And this is an online training course that we have. It's free. It's directly on the website. You don't have to sign up for anything. You can subscribe to our mailing list as part of that. Each lesson's between 5 to 10 minutes. That's lesson number one. And then we'll go ahead and go over to steps to get freedom. That's going to be step number six. It's about 6 minutes and 10 minutes long. And as well, there is a worksheet that goes along with it. Self-inner healing worksheet. And it walks you through some steps to get some freedom, calling on the name of Jesus Christ. Again, this is all free for you guys. As part of that, here's some steps to get free. And that's what you'll get inside there when you click on that button there. All right, I want to share with you one more thing here on my screen. The last one here is going to be a webinar that we're having on the beginning of next month. On the same day, we're also doing a deliverance service as well as the Courts of Heaven Masterclass. We're doing 3 webinars in one day so I can get them all done. And then the rest of the week is helping others to get freedom and writing and all the other fun stuff as part of that. So this is going to be a 14-week training course as part of this. It's going to be learning how to do deliverance. Week one, we're going to be talking about identifying altars and understanding disassociation. If you have a heart of wanting to help the brokenhearted to get healed, if you've gone through deliverance, more likely Jesus has called you to do deliverance yourself. The only reason why we get saved and delivered and healed as a testimony is so that we can help others to get freedom. So, you know, if you had an addiction to alcohol or tobacco or anything else, then you got free from it. That's something that Jesus wants you to share and give a testimony about that. So, just some encouragement for you guys. Check that out. It's going to be 14 weeks. There is going to be a replay, but it is going to be with a paid subscription. When we're done with the training, it will be a paid training, but take advantage of the free webinar as part of that to learn, show up to each one. And then as well, there will be a replay, but we'll let you know. This will be a replay as well. You'll be getting it next Monday as part of that. We're going to stop sharing our screen. We got 2 people here that have asked for some questions here or like to walk through the process. Give me a second here. I'm going to go to Joseph. Joseph, I'm going to pin you next to me. And if you can unmute yourself as well as turn on your camera, that would be great. And share with me what's going on here, Joseph. Would you like some restoration from the Lord? Are you looking to ask some questions about the Courts of Heaven? Oh, I'm sorry, Joseph. If you can unmute yourself there should be a little unmute button there. There you go, Joseph. I can hear you now.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. My name is the Evangelist Joseph Moringa Ichueshe. I'm here in the UK. I would like to know, How do you use approach the courts of heaven when you want to pray for the number one deliverance of a nation, okay, and number two redeem of the land
and deliverance of the nation? Okay, well number one, before you get started, have you ever approached the throne of grace before, Joseph?
Yes, I have approached the courts of heaven on a personal level, at a family level, and on individual when I'm interceding for individuals. But I'm at a loss. Like, for instance, if I want to pray, let's say, for nations that are at war, and I don't want that war to be there, how do I present my case? What is the protocol, the language that I'm...
Yeah. When you get there, Joseph, when you approach the throne room of grace, tell Jesus right in the very beginning, Jesus, I am standing in the gap for my nation. And Lord, as well, what accusations stand for this nation that I need to pray for? And yes, back and forth here, Joseph, between you and Jesus, it's a personal relationship, an interaction. So when you ask him there, then he'll reveal to you the deep things that needs to be healed for that nation. And as part of that, you may hear, you know, it is idolatry, or, you know, it's gossip, spirit of gossip, or, you know, it might be, you know, a spirit of witchcraft. Whatever Jesus shares, then that's what you're going to stand in the gap for. And he'll prepare your heart and share with you and give you some instruction as part of it. So when you get there, you're going to wait on the Lord. Okay, Jesus, so this is what I present my case, you know, for my nation, for my city, for, you know, my congregation. And Lord, are there any blockages here? Are there any legal rights hindering them from moving forward, or for my nation from moving forward? I want them to be saved, Lord. And so approach Jesus, and then he'll start sharing with you what the open doorways are, and just be sensitive to his presence. This is going to be key. If you don't hear the voice of God real well, it's a bit difficult to approach the throne room of grace, because it's a back and forth again between you and the Lord. You're asking him as part of that. So when you do it, you may, in the beginning, you've done it for yourself. You may say to Jesus, hey, Jesus, I know I want to approach the throne room of grace for my nation, or for my government, or whatever. But say, Jesus, is there any open doorways with me? Is there anything that you need to work on first before I approach the throne room of grace and stand in the gap for them? And ask him, hey, will you share with me? What are they? What do you need to heal over my life? And then he'll search your heart. You may hear it's generational, it's witchcraft, it's something that you've wounded someone, or they've wounded you. But again, they're all open doorways that the Lord wants to close, and they may be barriers in approaching the throne room of grace for your nation as part of that. Because, you know, Jesus, how can I, like him coming to God with Job, and say, you know, how can you bless Job? You know, he's got, it's just because of your favors with him. But, you know, if we look at Job, there was an open doorway. A lot of people don't notice this, but the doorway for Job was that he was trying to cover the sins of his kids as part of that. He was worried. There was a bit of worry. He wanted to cover them, you know. So I believe that was an open doorway as part of that, because of worry, because their kids weren't maybe just living the best lives. So the enemy used that as an accusation over him. So he may have an accusation against you and say, hey, you know, there's unforgiveness in his heart. How can you bless this nation when unforgiveness lies deep inside of him as part of that? And so then the Lord will work on your heart in regards to whatever issues he needs to resolve as well. So just ask the Lord, hey, is there stuff worth me? And then after you get your confirmations that there's nothing with you, and you can move on to praying for those nations and praying for, you know, your city or whatever it is, the government, the world, then the Lord will help you in that process. So does that help answer that question for you?
It does. And how about, how do you present the courts of heaven petition prayer for revival?
I would do the same thing. I would present it up the same way and say, hey, Jesus, I'm approaching the throne room of grace. I want revival for my church. I want revival for my city. And then as well say, Jesus, are there open doorways here hindering this from this revival? How can I stand in the gap for my city or for my church? Will you reveal to me how can I do this, Lord? Because I want complete revival with them. And then be persistent in it as well until you get your answer. like with Zechariah, like with Daniel, until you get the full confirmation of God's word with it, pursue the Lord shamelessly and persistently like that widow woman presenting her case before the courts of heaven or the unjust judge there in Luke 18. Did that help answer that question as well?
Yes, I see.
Would you like to walk through one? Would you like to have Jesus bring something up that he wants to heal and restore over your life?
Over my life?
Yeah. We could have Jesus reveal it to you in the courtroom. Would you like that? Perfect. You know, because a lot of times we don't know what we need as part of this or, you know, what the open doorways are. Because, you know, I've been working on myself for years, Joseph. You know, so if I would just take a moment and go, oh, open doorways are here, you know, it might be hard for a moment. So sometimes we can always just ask the Holy Spirit where these open doorways are. So let's take a moment here, Joseph. I'm going to have the courts of heaven convened over everyone's life here. And then as well, we're going to ask Jesus, what open doorways are here hindering you from moving forward? Is that all right? Perfect. Heavenly Father, we ask that the courts of heaven be convened over everyone's life here today. We thank you, Jesus, as well, that all books be opened on their behalf. Thank you, Jesus, for sending forth angels, handcuffing some demons, and sending them to the courtroom as they testify. Thank you, Jesus, that all witnesses are here, including the accuser of the brethren. Lord Jesus, there's some open doorways here that Joseph is looking to get healed and restored in the courtroom. Jesus, will you search his heart? And will you reveal to him what some of these doorways are? Lord, he's looking for revival. He's looking for, as well, praying for nations. Lord, you put this on his heart where you reveal to him if there's any hindrances blocking him from moving forward in the courtroom. Joseph, Jesus will search your heart. He'll reveal to you where these open doorways are. You may hear it's generational, it's witchcraft, it's curses. Maybe you wounded somebody, somebody wounded you, whatever they are. They're all just open doorways, and Jesus will share with you what he needs to heal. He share anything with you, Joseph? Are there any open doorways he's revealing to you?
I need to develop in the...
You need to... What was that again, Joseph? Nothing. Did you get anything from the Lord?
No, not yet.
Okay, I thought you did, and I just misinterpreted there. Give me a moment. Jesus, we take the sword of the Spirit. We pierce and cut off the enemy's stronghold over his spiritual ears. Demons detach. Leave Joseph alone. Jesus, as well, thank you for revealing to him what open doorways are here blocking him in the courtrooms. Reveal to him if it's secret sin, if there's things that need to be unresolved, woundedness from his past. Oh, someone hurt him in any way. Pastors, ministers. Thank you, Jesus, for revealing to Joseph if there's any open doorways. Waiting on the Lord here, Joseph. He'll reveal to you if there's anything here. Share with me whatever he shares with you.
I can't hear anything.
You can't hear anything. That's okay. As part of that, Joseph, sometimes when we approach the throne room of grace, there's this blockage here. That's why Jesus shared in Luke 18, the widow woman was persistent. And when she didn't get her first resolve or answer, when she didn't get anything at all, then she just approached that unjust judge. And so we get to approach Jesus as a just judge. So if we didn't get our answer, then we come back to the Lord and say, hey, Jesus, are there any other issues here revealed to me in the future? Or as well, tug on my heart when you want me to approach this again with you and see what he has to share here as part of that. Okay, Joseph?
Yes, I hear you.
Perfect. Awesome. Thank you so much, Joseph, for volunteering today and walking through the process.
Thank you. God bless
you. You're so welcome. Have a blessed day, sir.
Thank you, sir.
The Lord is good and his mercies endure forever. Now, I love having examples. I always like it when Jesus brings confirmations and revelation, but sometimes when you do a one of these, other people think that, oh my goodness, it was so easy for them. Why isn't it that easy for me? And when we see that when we approach the throne room of grace and we don't always hear the voice of God or we're asking him for something and it's just, it feels dry or you know, nothing's happening, then we just say, all right, Lord, well, then I guess approach you again in another time when you tug on my heart, and then just walk away from it. Move on with your day. as part of it, and until he shares with you to approach him again. But don't get discouraged just because of that. So if you didn't hear anything, you know, again, try again. Maybe, you know, take a break. If you got time, read your Bible, and then approach the Lord again. There's many open cases that I have personally in my own life, as part of, and in the ministry, and many cases that the Lord has closed already and given me the victory. And the ones that is a work in progress is something that the Lord's taken me through. And not always do I get verdicts in my favor instantly. Sometimes the Lord shared with me some of the ministry stuff. It's happening on the fly as part of it. You know, he's in the work of doing it. So, you know, the verdict's not there yet for some of the things. So he says, hey, just approach me again when I tug on your heart. So he'll tug on you to approach him on and off about some of the issues in your life. Just be sensitive and you'll feel the leading. Hey, this one here is a justice issue. This one here is not coming to Jesus as a friend or a father. It's coming to Jesus as a judge, and he'll reveal that to you. We got Melvin here. Thank you again, Melvin, for being here. I'll go ahead and get you right next to me, Melvin. Thanks again for showing up for today's live webinar on the courts of heaven. What would you like to bring before Jesus? Did you have some questions for me, Melvin, or just walking you through the process?
Just walking me through the process.
All right. What's going on, Melvin?
Just, you know, the demonic entities here, just, you know, just gets extra healing.
Amen. So not everyone knows what's going on, Melvin. Are they tormenting you by you hearing them, or are they touching you?
Yeah, touching, hearing the demonic entities, one or two voices, nonstop, it's been 5 years now.
All right. Let's bring this before Jesus as the just judge. Is that okay?
Yes, that's fine.
Perfect, Melvin. Thanks again for volunteering. Jesus, we approach your throne room of grace, and we bring up before you, Jesus, this open doorway, this doorway of demonic oppression of hearing demons as well as feeling them. Jesus, will you reveal to your servant Melvin where these open doorways are? Touch on his heart. Share with them if it's generational, if it's witchcraft, if it has to do with legal rights and woundedness from his past, or others that have wounded him, or him wounding others. Will you share with them some of these open doorways? He'll share with you whatever open doorways causing this oppression, of this demonic oppression that the enemy's bringing to you here, Melvin. You may hear a name, function, a memory from your past. Whatever Jesus brings up, he just wants to heal. What's he bringing to your attention, Melvin? Judge, okay. And so ask Jesus if there's some things that he needs to heal. Say, Jesus, what are the emotions you need to heal from this past wound?
Jesus, what are the emotions you need to heal from these past wounds?
You might hear it's just anger, fear, depression, hopelessness.
I'm hearing judge again.
Judge again. All right. And then as well, ask Jesus, say, Jesus, when was this created?
Jesus, when was this created?
You might have a time in your life where he brings to your attention where you got judged.
In the court.
In the court. All right. Is this is it taking you back to a memory where you were in a courtroom together there, Melvin, as part of that?
Yeah, I'm seeing downtown Cleveland, where I live at, Ohio. But it's downtown Cleveland where when I was going back and forth to court. So I'm seeing downtown inside where everybody go to court at different court cases.
Yeah. So how does this make you feel, Melvin? I know that you heard that Jesus needs to heal that verdict that was there. But is there some emotions associated with this? If you go back to this memory, is there pain there? Frustration?
I don't feel anything. I don't feel frustrated or anything. I don't want to go to that memory.
Any confusion with that memory?
Yeah, confusion. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Perfect. So if we don't get the exact answers from Jesus right there, we can just kind of keep nitpicking at it and just go into deep pieces of it. What's the next step? What's the next thing he needs to heal? What else does he need to do? When was it created? What's the emotions? I'm not really getting, well, that was, I felt confused, you know? So let's bring that before the Lord. Let's have him heal and restore. Let's do it together here as part of that. I always like it to be interactive, Melvin. So they say, Jesus, I call on your name and authority.
Jesus, I call on your name and authority.
And divide soul and spirit.
I divide soul and spirit.
Thank you for bringing this memory up, Jesus.
Thank you for bringing this memory up, Jesus.
Jesus, I choose to forgive.
Jesus, I choose to forgive.
Can you forgive the judge, the attorneys, everyone that was there, as well as part of that, Melvin? Or do you need help from the Lord?
I need help from the Lord. I think that was pretty maxing, pretty crazy to me. Now thinking about it, it's coming to my mind. Yeah, it was pretty bad. And how much when he just wanted me to be in trouble when I was in it. Never had many trouble in all my background or anything. So yeah, I do need help from the Lord.
Say, Jesus, will you help me, please?
Jesus, will you help me, please?
It's only you that can do this.
It's only you that can do this.
I choose to forgive everyone by faith.
I choose to forgive everyone by faith.
Jesus, please work on my heart.
Jesus, please work on my heart.
Jesus, please forgive me.
Jesus, please forgive me.
For whatever accusation that opened this doorway.
Whatever accusation that opened this doorway.
Jesus, will you testify on my behalf?
Jesus, will you testify on my behalf?
Will you bring me a verdict in my favor?
Will you bring a verdict in my favor?
Please, minister, speak to me now.
Please, minister, and speak to me now.
He's right here, Melvin, bringing freedom to this brokenhearted issue. Jesus, thank you for coming through. He's looking for verdicts in his favor. Thank you, Father, as well. Let them see the victory right there in the courtroom, as well as thank you for those confirmations and moving forward. We're waiting on the Lord here, Melvin. He'll share with you about this victory. Share with me whatever he's doing here for you.
I'm hearing lies.
Lies, okay. As well as Jesus will give you a peace that surpasses your understanding here. Go back to the memory. And when this happened here, Melvin, see if Jesus brought peace to that confusion, all that stuff that was there, the chaos. See if he brought peace.
Yeah, I was just seeing the judge that I had, and I felt peace.
Amen.
That memory up to my head.
Let's tell the enemy where to go. Say, I command you, demonic spirits.
I command you, demonic spirits.
Go to the pit in Jesus' name.
Go to the pit in Jesus'
name. Amen. I'm sure there's more work to do here, Melvin, as part of that. So approach the throne room of grace. Ask him again, are there any other legal rights hindering me from moving forward from this? And see what the Lord shares with you. And just spend that extra time with him when you feel led to take this secret time and hang out with him. In your prayer closet. Okay, Melvin?
Yeah, thank you, Pastor.
Oh, you're so welcome. Hey, thanks again, Melvin, for volunteering.
No problem.
The Lord is good and his mercies endure forever. I like sharing because, you know, this is not anything that has to do with me. I'm just a human being. I'm just going to walk you and guide you through this process. You're standing out of the courtroom's work, how Jesus wants to heal brokenhearted issues, how to deal with demons. But again, it's your personal relationship with the Lord. He leads and guides you into truth. That's what he did for Melvin. He brought memories from his past that bothered him, that needed to get healed, that hasn't been resolved. How many of us have done that? Now, you haven't brought something before the Lord. You tried to handle it on your own, you know. And a lot of times, you know, some things we can do. Some things aren't so bad, you know. Like if someone scares you, you know, you're like, I need inner healing from that, you know. But if we were a child and that happened to us, you know, and they scared you out of the blue, you know, that might be enough. That's something that needs to get healed. So as these issues do come up, if we didn't get it resolved by the Lord in the courtroom, he'll reveal this. And as part of that, so he'll share with you. as well as you seek the Lord for prophecy over the nation, over yourself, over others, as part of that in the courtroom, he'll reveal it to you as he heals those brokenhearted issues as well. And he will give you more encouragement about prophecy in the courtroom. So it's really nice that when you're asking him specifically in about prophecy, our topic here today is that we can approach him. We can ask him to help us to reveal things to us in the courtroom as well. Hey, reveal to me what's going on, Lord. You know, I approach the throne room of grace. Will you help me with this? Will you help me to get my victory? Will you help me to see visions or encounters and dreams? So ask the Lord in the courtroom. Why not? You know, if you feel led, and that the Jesus will be right there to meet you once again and to minister and speak to you. Anyone else that would like to volunteer, ask questions, I'll be more than happy to walk you through the process as well as answer some questions just about the courtroom and the proceeding process. Anyone else? Wow, praise God. Looks like we got a lot of the answers, questions answered here. I'll encourage you is that the replay is going to be next Monday. You'll get an email blast. Usually just says that the email's out for the replay, and then later on, you'll get another email talking about the new webinar for the new week and the links to those replays. There will be some worksheets inside there, guys, with some examples of some steps that you can take to get that freedom as part of that. So check that out later on today. We do have another webinar. We're going to be doing a deliverance service, and we're going to be walking people through the process of through exorcisms, inner healing, so that you can get freedom if you feel blocked from the enemy, if you have some trauma from your past, maybe you're dealing with some negative emotions you just don't know how to overcome. We can turn to Jesus to get freedom over every single thing, and he just wants to heal these issues and set us free. Those of you who donated today, thank you so much for donating to our free webinar here. It's again a donate option, so you can either choose zero or whatever, and all those go towards helping the ministry to continue to succeed. As part of that, we're going to be closing in prayer and closing out the courts of heaven. Lord, again, we just thank you for another great day. And this is the day that you've made. We rejoice and we're glad in it. We close out the courts as well. We declare freedom for your people. And now the kingdom of God has come upon them all. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to be with them through this next week. And Lord, that they'll approach you in the courtroom and be able to petition you to get their victory. They've been tired of knocking on the door, maybe not getting their victory, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we have an opportunity to turn to you as a judge. We thank you, Lord, that those that were here that got the freedom, Lord, we thank you that the kingdom of God has now come upon them. We thank you for binding up those wounds. We're going to be standing in the gap, and we thank you, Lord, for all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, I'll see you guys next week. It's going to be an afternoon. This time, we'd like to switch it up. So next week is going to be at 3 o'clock Pacific Daylight Time for the Courts of Heaven. And then the Deliverance is going to be at 9 o'clock in the morning. And then at 12, we're going to be doing that live Deliverance, teaching you how to do Deliverance as part of that, talking about altars. I'm sorry, guys. We won't be taking any more questions. We're all done here for the day. And join us in the next one. Ask your question there. I'll be more than happy to answer those. You guys have a blessed day. Thanks again for joining us for our live webinar. Bye-bye.